is our government not just trying to control what we say, but how we say it, and are our campus universities involved? Yeah, let's talk about that.
Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show.
Well, hey there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show, and thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. I am, as always, your humble host, joining you from our Cardio Miracle Studios here in lovely Eastern Indiana. The Brian Nichols Show is powered by Amp America. Very excited to be part of the Amp America team. If you're looking for your latest news, some opinion articles, and more, head over to ampamerica.com. The Brian Nichols Show, very excited to be powered by Amp America. Also, very excited, yours truly, to be powered by our studio sponsor, Cardio Miracle. Now, for folks who've been listening to the show, you've heard me say this about pretty much every intro. Yes, the Cardio Miracle difference is 1,000% real. And I say that as someone who uses Cardio Miracle literally every single day, twice a day, actually, once in the morning and once at night. Now, what is Cardio Miracle? Cardio Miracle is the best heart health supplement in the world. With a secret ingredient that is nitric oxide, it's going to help you do a number of things, but the top three that I've experienced: lower blood pressure, better pump at the gym, and a more restful night sleep. Now, I've had a family history of high blood pressure, and I thought that was going to be life, but Cardio Miracle has not only helped my blood pressure drop dramatically, but it's had, again, a slew of other benefits I didn't even expect. Amongst them, seeing my pump at the gym increase my overall PRs like I have never seen before. I'm getting 8 solid hours of sleep at night, which before I was tossing and turning constantly. And the only thing that's changed is Cardio Miracle, because Cardio Miracle helps open up your blood vessels, help improve the pump of blood to your heart and through the rest of your body, and of course, again, lower your blood pressure. So folks, if you guys want to go ahead and experience the Cardio Miracle difference for yourselves and not take my word for it, frankly, well, first of all, head to BrianNicholsShow.com/heart, or if you're joining us here on the video version of the show, head down below into the description. You'll see the link to Cardio Miracle. Go ahead, place your order, use code TBNS. You're going to get 15% off your order. But again, you have nothing to worry about because there's a 100% money-back guarantee. So the only thing you really have to lose is that high blood pressure, those restless nights of sleeping, and that little itty-bitty pump you have at the gym. So one more time, link is in the show notes. Join the tens of thousands of other folks who are experiencing the Cardio Miracle difference for themselves. I guarantee your heart will thank you. All right, now, your heart's going to thank you if you use Cardio Miracle, but will your brain thank you if you go to one of our favorite esteemed education institutions, whether that's, you know, a college, a university, wherever that may be here in the good old US of A? But what if our government wasn't just trying to actually restrict the things that we talk about, the things we think and the things we say, but what if they're actually using those institutions of higher learning to actually implement a lot of the nefarious tools that they are trying to use to actually stop us from having these conversations? To discuss all that and more today, joining us from campus reform, Professor Nick Giordano. Giordano, I got it. Nick Giordano. Welcome to the Brian Nichols Show. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Now, for folks who didn't get to see the before we hit the record button, that was me diligently practicing your name, Giordano, to make sure I didn't screw it up. And I told the fun story of when I did flub a guest name here on the show back when I first started. So, no, Professor Giordano, Nick, thank you for joining us. Really looking forward to today's conversation. But before we go in and we start digging into, yes, this very real and important topic, I think a lot of folks, maybe they don't realize it's happening, where government is leveraging these institutions of higher learning to actually help control our thoughts, control our speech. Let's do the audience a favor. Introduce yourself to the audience, but also why this focus on college, where we're supposed to be learning all these great, exciting new things and actually finding, maybe that's not the case.
Well, I come from a unique background. Prior to jumping in academia, I was actually in Homeland Security and Emergency Management. So I understand how it works out. And the intent of gathering information to conduct threat assessments and warning about what's really taking place out there. But as far as my Homeland Security background goes, I was always concerned about an overbearing government that would usurp fundamental rights. And when I was a college student, when 9/11 happened, I remember writing a whole thesis on that. We are treading on new territory here, and we have to be careful that there's so many people willing to grant government so much power, because as I was trained as a political scientist, power could easily be abused. Mm-hmm. And so that was always a big concern of mine. How do you respect the rights of the people on one hand and keep the nation safe? And I tried to take that with me in my emergency management days. And then in 2013, I switched to a full-time political science professor. And I've always studied the increasing intervention of government in our society. But there were a lot of things that were concerning me, where I was seeing educators, academics that were actually advocating for a mass surveillance state and would be willingly assist the government in building that state out.
Wow. Well, and that, okay, let's just put a pin here on this part of the conversation, because these are the folks who are supposed to be encouraging an open and you know, dare we say, a combative debate that's supposed to be taking place in these institutions of higher learning. This is how we're supposed to make and break a lot of ideas. You're supposed to be challenged. You're supposed to, challenge others. But that doesn't seem to be the case here. Nick, talk to us more about that.
Well, the whole point of academia and the whole point of higher education is to challenge our way of thinking. It's to get us to think critically, to do a critical inquiry, debate, look at all sides of an issue, and try and seek out the truth. Well, it's no longer about that. And what amazes me about academia is if you go back 30, 40, 50 years ago, the biggest nonconformists out there turned into the biggest conformists, actually pushing the ones that will fight the system. They became the system. And so they want to use the totality of the power of government in order to push narratives. That's what this really comes down to. That there has to be only certain narratives that should be allowed, and that's the way you indoctrinate the masses. Unfortunately, this has been going on for far too long when we look at how higher education and the government has almost merged into one. It's become this blob. I call it an unholy alliance. And Dwight D. Eisenhower did warn us about this. Dwight D. Eisenhower, in his farewell address, everyone usually refers to the military-industrial complex. What less people know is that in that same speech, he also warned about the national scholars and the grant funding that's going to be provided to higher education institutions as we advance technologically. And he worried that, you know, when you have a grant funding mechanism that's being used to fund higher education, the research is going to tend to favor what the government wants, right? Because if you go against the government, well, they're just going to cut the grant funding to your institution. So it's almost magical. A self-fulfilling prophecy that exists. And Eisenhower was spot on with this. We have seen over the last several years, and it started shortly after 9/11. Shortly after 9/11, the government commissioned MIT and a couple other schools to develop what was called the Total Information Awareness Program. This was a program funded by the taxpayers to the tune of $100 million. That they wanted to data mine information on Americans, collect all of Americans' data. Now, there were a lot of concerns that were raised from bureaucrats within, saying this may go a little too far, may be unconstitutional. Unfortunately, they lost the argument. And ultimately, this would become incorporated into the CIA's PRISM program, where we learned through the Edward Snowden revelations that government was capturing our data. They were capturing the timestamps of phone calls, dates, phone numbers, how long the conversations lasted, all internet searches, emails, social media posts. And it only expanded from there. The CIA, the NSA has said that this program has been dismantled.
Attention fans of The Office and political enthusiasts alike. Our friends over at Indie Emporium are ready to help you show your support for the most unexpected candidate of 2024, Michael Scott. Picture yourself wearing our We're Back in Business graphic tee featuring a bold red Michael Scott 2024 design that's sure to turn some heads. The soft, comfortable fabric and vibrant print make this a perfect choice for any campaign rally or debate watch party. And here's the best part. As part of our special campaign launch, You can use the discount code MS2024 to get 25% off your purchase. But you gotta act fast because this is part of our Michael Scott 2024 campaign launch, meaning it's gonna go fast. So you only have 2 weeks to get the exclusive 25% off your order. One more time, MS2024. Special shout out to our friends over at Indie Emporium. You can check them out at IndieEmporium.com.
But I could tell you, I could tick off at least a half dozen government agencies that continue to mine the internet for data, and without any warrants, without any suspicion that anyone's doing any wrongdoing, without any crimes being alleged, where they're collecting this information unconstitutionally. And I'm talking about, forget the FBI, the CIA, the NSA. I'm talking about, I could even bring it to the United States Postal Service that's supposed to be delivering our mail. They developed what's called the ICOP program. And in the ICOP program, they were flagging social media posts and sending them to the Department of Homeland Security, not based on mail fraud or anything like that, but based on people speaking out against government, organizing or coordinating protests. So we see how deep it's gotten. But what most people don't realize is that higher education is behind a lot of this, to the tune of hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. We just witnessed a $5 million grant going to the University of Wisconsin that's designed to create a program that will strategically correct information in newsrooms when there's something deemed as misinformation. This is on top of $7.5 million that was handed out to about a half dozen schools to do exactly the same thing. So misinformation and disinformation have become the government's target. But it goes, again, beyond that, because it's not just about censoring people. It's not just about targeting one group of people because of their ideological beliefs. It's about controlling the way people think, controlling how people formulate opinions and what positions they take on issues. You had the Carol Crawford, who is part of the CDC, who tried to reach out to Twitter stating that any unapproved opinions need to be scrubbed from their website. Now, I don't know about you, but I never thought that the government gets to approve my opinions. They can't approve my opinions. No one gave them the power to do that. It's in direct violation of the Constitution. Then you have Jen Easterly, the CISA director, and this is where my Homeland Security background kicks back in. So I did a lot of work on critical infrastructure protection when I was in emergency management. And, you know, when we think of critical infrastructure protection, we think of roads and bridges, power grids, water supply systems, banking institutions, the financial sector, the education. But what they want to do now is add cognitive thoughts to critical infrastructure protection. They call it cognitive infrastructure. And they say that this is necessary to protect against misinformation, disinformation, and what they deem as malinformation. So misinformation is information that you put out there that's incorrect, but you might not know that it's incorrect. Disinformation is information that you put out there that you knowingly know is false. Malinformation is information that is true, but can be deemed harmful to the public. So that's where we're at. And you look at this giant censorship apparatus that has been built out, this giant government bureaucracy. And you have college professors cheering it on. You had a University of Arizona professor, Professor Keene, and you had Jack Goldsmith, a law professor over at Harvard, put out an article stating how in the world of the internet, that China has largely gotten it right when it comes to governing the internet, and the United States has gotten it wrong. So, I mean, essentially, they're advocating for a more communist style system over the internet here in the United States. And what's really bizarre is that every time they spout misinformation and disinformation, I explain how governments throughout history, not just the United States, but throughout history, have been the largest purveyors of misinformation and disinformation. And that's the amazing part, that they're attacking false information, yet they constantly put out false information. Gulf of Tonkin, we could look at weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the entire coronavirus, where they censored Dr. Bhattacharya and the Great Barrington Declaration and Dr. Kodroff. And yet everything they were putting out there, like the 6-foot rule, the 6-foot social distancing rule, Lord Fauci testified that it was completely made up. They had no scientific basis to do it. But if you criticize the 6 foot rule, then you were censored. Truly stunning.
I mean, Nick, I'm still sitting here with a strike on my YouTube channel for reading the news. If I'm gonna be honest, like I'm literally reading the news of what's happening, and oh my god, I don't want to axe my channel again, but like I look at the strike and the video I got struck for, and that title of that video literally would be a headline right now and be completely non-controversial. And I laugh because I don't laugh because if I don't laugh, I'll cry. But like if you look at it, it's like, come on, this is just how we learn. This is how we get better. I mean, that's the whole point of being able to freely communicate, is to test your ideas to figure out, is what I'm saying on point? Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. And to have, my goodness, to have the audacity to put the government in a spot to say that they could be wrong. The government experts, trust those experts. Who are you, Nick, to say we're not supposed to, you know, allow all, or rather, no, we should allow an open and free, you know, discussion. What is this nonsense that our government is deciding who can and cannot speak? And then to your point, malinformation. What? That it's true but might be hurtful? Come on. Like, if it's true, we have an obligation to speak about what's true. So, you know, let's go back to, though, like, where this really, I think, has reared its ugly head. And that is, and you teased it, like, during the COVID insanity, starting in 2020, and fast forward to today, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation, those terms have all consistently been popping them their heads up above the surface here and entering into the normal discourse. More and more folks I'm hearing are starting to buy it hook, line, and sinker. Is it because the folks that are being really force-fed this are the folks in college, right? The folks who their success is going to be determined by a college educator. I'm using educator very loosely in air quotes for the audio listener, but like, is that where we're seeing a lot of this happen? Because I think back, Nick, like when I was in high school and when I was in college, the argument was always, listen, you got these progressive leftist teachers, they have the ability to fail you, just write down what they want to hear, pass your class, and go on to the real world. Are we starting to now actually see, though, it's not just a matter of people saying, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear to pass a class, but now people are actually starting to internalize and believe some of this stuff?
Well, this is the result of a system that has been infiltrated and hijacked by ideologues. And I wrote a whole piece for Campus Reform that explains, when I went to college, I had wonderful professors. I mean, and they came from all across the political spectrum. Some of them were like avowed communists. They would admit it. But they were subject material experts in their field, and they loved debate. They loved to hear different points of view. They loved when I pushed back. They always loved to engage. However, as those professors began to retire, we got a new crop of professors who largely just stayed within the academic ecosystem their entire lives, never went into the real world to experience it. And so they began to become the teachers. You know, they went, they got their education degree, they started teaching in the K through 12 system. And so it became much more ideological, where the K through 12 system wasn't infected with politics. Well, it is today because of these ideologues. And we have a bunch of different things going on. The American people aren't properly educated on America. I mean, let's be honest here. Most people, doesn't matter what their political affiliation is, cannot pass a basic American citizenship exam. Most people can't define what federalism means and explain our federalist system of government. And most people don't understand the founding of this country. And so the founding fathers warned us about all of this. They warned that, you know, governments exist and they're always going to seek to acquire more and more power. They're always going to seek to expand. The founding fathers talked about human nature, how people are too willing to give up power to the government. And that's why they instituted separation of powers, checks and balances. We have a very complicated system where it's very difficult to get anything done. However, and this is where we the people are at fault, as time has gone on and we don't really understand government and we look at government and think it operates within a good faith capacity, there has been too many people on all sides of the political aisle that the second something happens in society, they look to government to solve the problem. So take 9/11. If you criticize the Patriot Act, you were told, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care? Now, I cared because I know this power is going to be easily abused. It may not be abused within the first couple of years, but down the line, I can't tell who's going to be in office and when they're going to be in office and how it's going to be used. And that was my concern.
Picture this. You wake up with a pounding headache and a sore throat, and you dread the thought of dragging yourself to the doctor's office, waiting for hours just to get a simple prescription. But what if I told you there's a better way? With the Wellness Company, you can see a board-certified doctor right from your phone or computer. No more waiting rooms, no more hassle. Just log in, describe your symptoms, and get the treatment you need. And as a listener of The Brian Nichols Show, you're going to get 10% off your visit if you use code TBNS. So don't let your busy schedule keep you from feeling your best. Visit The Wellness Company and use code TBNS to start your journey to a convenient, affordable healthcare.
But if I said something, then they stated, well, you must be doing something wrong then. You shouldn't have anything to worry about. And we freely turned over this power to the government. And so the government has expanded on that ever since then. When it came to the coronavirus, there were so many people that didn't question the idea of lockdowns, didn't question the idea of the government dictating when, where, and how you practice your faith, what businesses are essential, which ones aren't, when your kids could go to school, who could come into your home, or, you know, and it was horrendous. And when you told people, well, this isn't how it's supposed to work, well, we're in a pandemic. Well, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the Constitution gets suspended during a pandemic, but state legislative bodies were bypassed. Governors, a handful of their advisors made most of the decisions. And that's the very definition of authoritarianism. So Americans have forgotten where we come from. They've forgotten the warnings about the founding fathers. And so government in its natural evolution is going to acquire and expand on powers given to it by the people. And that's the concern that I have is we're living in Orwell's dystopia in 1984. It might not be as bad yet. But if we keep trending in this direction, sooner or later it will be.
Oh, that's rosy and cheerful. No, I'm just teasing. Nick,
you provide optimism to the masses.
Well, you actually set me up for a good segue, believe it or not, because we hear the problem. We hear how bad it is, right? But let's try to paint a positive, optimistic future picture if we could here. And I guess in your opinion, because I think you have a really good opportunity as both an academic as well as someone who's been in the security state. You are able to really bridge both of these worlds. What would you suggest as kind of like, how can we restore some trust, not just into these institutions of higher learning, but also trust into government narratives? Can we trust government narratives? And how can we really pull back government and allow us to instead have these open conversations without fear of, you know, being labeled misinformation, disinformation, or God help us, malinformation?
Well, I'll give you the good news first. I mean, you know, they pushed too far. And so they pushed so far during the coronavirus and people now are actually mad. I think that there's so many people that underestimate how angry younger Americans are that 2 years of their lives were stolen from them during the coronavirus. And they didn't get to experience, you know, the major milestones in life that you and I got to experience. And they're bitter and resentful about that. So that's good news right there, because they're going to be more skeptical of government naturally, especially as more information comes out about some of the lies that were told to us, like the 6-foot distance rule, like the masking, like the vaccine will stop COVID dead in its tracks, things like that. As far as how can we start to restore some semblance of integrity into the system, there are several things that need to be done. First of all, people have to be held accountable. And that's where our members of Congress are extremely important. I mean, the idea that our officials, our bureaucrats could lie to us with impunity and not be held accountable, that's how this problem has festered. And we've seen this over the last decade and a half, that nobody's ever held accountable. Coronavirus highlighted that. But I think Afghanistan was like actually even bigger than that. 20 years of war, nearly $2 trillion spent. You had 2,400 American soldiers coming back in flag-draped coffins. And all the way, we were told that the situation was getting better, the government was stable over there, that the security forces could defend the government, and it collapsed within a week. Not a single person fired or suspended for that. I think the American people need to put pressure on Congress to actually do their job of oversight. Start holding these agencies and departments as a whole accountable. Start cutting their funding and they change their behavior. And I think that's a critical step. Americans for too long have disengaged from the political process. Our voter turnout at the local level and state level, and even when it comes down to a federal election, presidential election, voter turnout is abysmal in the United States. Well, we got to stop complaining and we got to start voting and we got to vote for politicians that actually understand what public service is. It means that they're there to serve the public. Too many of our officials now think that public service is to rule over the public. And I think that we got to stop that. We can't be enamored with these people. They have a job to do, but we have a job to do. We need to remember what our civic obligation is. And I think it's important that Americans go back and actually read the Constitution. Read it with your children. Explain it to them. Read the Declaration of it. Some people may not have touched these documents in years. Some people may have never read them. A lot of my students never read them until they get to my class. Start to re-engage in the American system. Because I could warn everyone out there, if this system collapses, what comes next is going to be horrific. And every luxury that you enjoy today will be gone with what comes next. And it doesn't matter what your point of view is politically. Right now, they may target conservatives or Republicans that go against the narrative. But sooner or later, the shoe's going to be on the other foot and they're going to target the other side. And that's what the fear is. So people better wake up because we have a long human record of governments that became abusive, repressive, and oppressive.
Hear, hear. And as we go towards our final thoughts, Nick, I'll kick things off because you segued it perfectly. And that is something I've said here in the show before. And that is, I don't care if you don't like politics and you don't want to get involved with politics. Politics is going to get involved with you, whether you like it or not. And that is where we are right now in 2024. I mean, goodness, good timing. We're recording here today. Instagram just announced, do you not want to see political posts in your feed anymore, Nick? Well, guess what? You just hit a button and poof, politics goes away, which
Worse than that because the button's automatically enabled. So if you are on Instagram, that button's automatically enabled and you have to go in and actually turn it off. So how many people that may be interested in politics or a slight interest, whatever it may be, that aren't going to see political posts because Instagram has deemed that they're not interested in political posts and shut the feature off. So it really is crazy.
And that right there, that speaks to, I think, what you're highlighting. And that is there's so many folks out there who are just, they're completely detached from what's happening. They are watching, that they are spectators in their own life, in their own country, in their own governance, and they don't, I don't know if they really put the connection together, like the A plus B equals C, like you sitting on the sidelines and watching as things happen, then bad thing happens. Like, you could have done something. You could have spoken out. You could have gone to your school board meeting. You could have gone and voted in that local election. But what did you do? You sat on your hands. You didn't want to read the political posts. You thought, oh my God, Brian's going and ranting and raving about God knows what again. What? Can't he just talk about something I care about, like sports or the weather or how my puppies look? Like, come on, give me something, Brian, that means something to me. And as much as we try to sell here on the show, right, we teach the ideas of how to sell, you do have to go after the people, I think, who are your ideal target, right? And you mentioned there are so many folks who they're not aware of our founding documents. They aren't aware of our founding principles. We have an obligation to go out and not just like sell to folks who already are in our way of thinking, but I think in this specific case, the people who are looking at what's happened and they just say like, I don't know what to do. I know something's wrong. I don't know how we got here. That's the person I think we have a really good opportunity right now, Nick, to reach out to talk to them and say, listen, I know you probably were blinders on like that, the Instagram, the Instagram feed wants you to be now, but you're taking the blinders off. You're starting to pay attention. You're seeing that things aren't right. Now we have an opportunity to help show, hey, remember when you heard back during COVID, all the folks saying that XYZ was misinformation, disinformation, malinformation? Yeah, here's what actually, the truth was. And now we're teaching them, right? We're teaching them how to identify this stuff in the future. So when inevitably government disinformation, government misinformation, or government malinformation does make its way to the masses, they're aware. They can call it out for what it is. Like when some of us, back when the CDC was saying, you know, mask now. No, wait, don't mask. Wait, no, wear a mask? Get jabbed 3 times, 4 times, 7 times. And it never really had a definitive answer because there was no definitive answer. And they wouldn't allow a conversation, an open and free exchange of ideas to take place, which brought us 4 years ahead to where we are today, I think in a much worse spot than we would have if we had actually let a free and open dialogue take place during COVID, challenge the institutional wisdom with what doctors were seeing work in the field. I mean, maybe we would have seen a death toll be, what, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, dare I say a million plus less than what it was because of the way that the government said you have to react to COVID. You have to treat COVID. If you're in the hospitals, this is how you have to deal with a patient who has COVID, or, you know, they have symptoms of COVID, even if they don't necessarily have COVID. Oh, that person got in a car accident and they died. Did they die of COVID or did they die with COVID? All these little things that were, you know, and we have, what, 800 plus episodes here at the show, and I think over 400 of them happened during COVID. We have the receipts. I don't need to go through and list off every single, you know, thing that the government said wasn't true that ended up being true, or vice versa, because we have the receipts. It's not a matter of trying to explain to folks how we were right. Just show them, because telling is one thing, showing is another. So I know I went on our little rant there, but I just think we are, despite the just nonsense we've had to go through, Nick, I think we're in a good spot right now. I think we have an opportunity to reach folks who they see that this isn't working and things are wrong. I've been lied to. The government isn't being truthful. At the very least, they're not telling me the whole truth. Where can I turn to? This is where folks can turn to. Turn to folks like Nick, like yours truly, other members, you in the audience of the Brian Nichols Show. Reach out to people. You are the advocates. So that's my final thoughts for today. Nick, what do you have for us on your end?
Well, my final thoughts are, like I tell my students, always be skeptical of government and policies. Even if you agree with the policy, even if you support the policy, you still be skeptical. Ask questions. Why are they doing this policy? Who is it going to benefit? Who is it going to strengthen? Where is the power going to flow to? Those are all important questions on any policy. Listen, I developed pandemic plans when I was in emergency management for several years. I know what pandemic plans are about. All our pandemic plans, and I'm talking about, we worked with epidemiologists, virologists. We all stated that in a pandemic type situation, you do a hospital surge to make hospitals can support an increase, and you take care of the most vulnerable populations. But you have to let people live their lives. The whole rule of emergency management is that you provide maximum safety with the least disruption possible. We did the exact opposite. Okay, we did the most disruption possible and didn't save anyone. So it shows you that government and the decisions they make have real consequences over our lives. And so that's why we need to be skeptical of them. And we can't sit there and just assume that government's operating in good faith. You have to assume that the things that they're doing, the policies they're developing, is to acquire power. And when you begin to question government, that's when you hold government accountable. That's when they know you're watching, and that's when they take a step back.
And that's when we win, and or at least we start winning, right? And that's where we have to aim our focus right now, is to start trying to win. Stop playing defense. Start playing offense. We just talked about this with our good buddy there, former NFL executive here on the show, Peter. Oh my goodness, his name just literally went poof. Paul Epstein. There we go. I've had 800 guests on the show, and we're recording here on a 5 p.m. on a Friday, so on a Monday. I can't even get the days right. It's now peek behind the curtain. I've had a whole day, folks. My fridge died last night. Had to go fridge shopping this morning, so it's been a whole thing for the Brian Nichols Show family. But besides that, right, when we look at where we're heading, this is the opportunity. So folks, please, if you got some value from today's episode, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and give it a share. When you do, please tag yours truly at B Nichols Liberty. You can find me on Facebook as well as on X.com. Nick, where can folks go ahead, reach out to you? They want to keep this conversation going. They want to learn more. Heck, maybe they want to take a class. Where can they go ahead and follow you?
Well, you can see the amazing reporting that we do at Campus Reform. Everyone can go to campusreform.org. You can follow me on X or any platform at PAS Report, or go to PASReport.com.
Love it. Nick, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I know that for these types of shows, even though sometimes we leave these shows feeling a little, right? Like, back to the point. Now we have something that we can play offense with. As, you know, we talked about in that last episode, you go through, you got to stop playing defense all the time. You got to play some offense because the other team's playing offense. And if you're just playing defense all the time, you'll be at that 1 yard line. You're like, man, why can't we ever seem to get our backs off the goal line? Why is that? It's because you're only playing defense. You got to go out, play some offense. Yeah, throw some Hail Marys, all that fun stuff. Just don't be a Cowboys fan like yours truly, because you're going to have 30 years of disappointment. But I digress. With that being said, folks, thank you for joining us. It's been an absolutely great conversation here today with Nick. And if you got some value beyond going ahead and giving it a share, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and please give the show some love financially, whether you want to do that just like a donation or you want to get something out of it, support the folks who support us. And that is our sponsors. So we have some awesome sponsors. Cardio Miracle, as I mentioned earlier, brand new sponsor, The Wellness Company. Really excited to have them on board. Plus some of the old favorites like Ebel CBD, Liquid Freedom, Energy Tea, as well as Blood of Tyrants and more. You can check out all of our awesome sponsors at the homepage, BrianNicholsShow.com. And then in terms of where to find the show, from an audio or video version of the show, we got you covered. Video, you can find us on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and X.com. We are uploading the entire video version of the show in their entirety to those different platforms. If you're joining us on YouTube or Rumble, hit that like button, hit that little subscribe button, and also head down below into the comments. Let us know your thoughts. If you were a college student, what was life like during COVID? Was it a little weird? Was it a little dystopian? And were you force-fed misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation from your academic betters, being told that they're the keepers of truth? When you're looking around saying, maybe this isn't right. I want to hear your thoughts, and I'm sure that Nick does as well. Head down below in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. Also, podcast version of the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever it is you get your audio content. Just hit subscribe to The Brian Nichols Show and download all unplayed episodes. Reason being, we have over 825 episodes here on the program, so I guarantee at least a handful of them should leave you educated, enlightened, and informed. With that being said, it's all we have for you today. Thank you for joining us. With that being said, Brian Nichols signing off here on The Brian Nichols Show for Professor Nick Giordano. God, I'm so close. I almost had it, Nick. I'm sorry. Nick Giordano. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at BrianNicholsShow.com.